You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on sunny Cocoa, Florida. And I have an action-packed show today. We are socially distanced in the studio. We have Ellen Little, who is my co-host. She is on mic one.
Yes.
We also have our good friend Jenny Baddick is here, and Jenny is on mic two. And
that's
I.
Right.
Oh, is that six?
Wrong.
Really, huh? Well, I'm calling it 1, 2, 3. And so we're also heard on FM 94.7. We're also heard on 99.9 and on 100.7. And we are on the web, Miss Ellen, as well.
We are. www.cedamediainc.com. You can find all of our archive shows. You'll be able to hear Jenny a few times because she's been a friend of the show for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we look forward to hopefully everybody getting online and downloading the shows. You can certainly get them right from our station as well, 1510wwbc.com.
Right. And so, you know, we're all watching what's going on around the nation. And right here in Brevard County as well, people are watching what's happening with the big bad coronavirus, COVID-19, as we call it. And there's so much chatter about the people who are dying. You've got people making accusations about the African-American community and people who are dying. But, of course, we have to look at what's happening with who's got diagnosis for heart disease, hypertension, and things like that. Now, they're saying if you have underlying conditions that you're more apt to get the virus to die.
Right.
So I've been watching, you know, folks were saying things about the Surgeon General of the United States and saying that he called the African-American community Big Mama and Abuela and whatever. But the truth is, I think he was trying to say something positive, right? To tell people that, you know, you got to change your behaviors after this, the way you eat, because I do believe you are what you eat, sleep, breathe, and think. Now, that doesn't mean only African-Americans or Hispanics have underlying conditions. It means everybody does.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I think the takeaway is take away what you want from it. But at the same time, look, Jenny and I were just saying, look at your refrigerator. Mm-hmm. What kind of snacks do you have in it? Mm-hmm. What are you eating while you're stressed out? I mean, are you exercising? Are you coming outside and getting a deep, taking a few deep breaths? And Jen, you were saying something about the beach. People were posting pictures.
Yeah, that the waters actually are clearer now than they usually are. Yeah, it looks like we're down in the Bahamas or something. Like, I want to go snorkeling.
Exactly. I know. And so, you know.
Well, that's what we talked about, to everybody going inside and taking this isolation seriously. And the earth is starting to heal. It's
yep.
an amazing thing.
Well, so, you know, I've had a lot of people that emailed me or sent me text messages about doing a show about healthcare, doing a show about expansion of Medicaid, asking governors in all 50 states that, yes, people do need to be on the ACA. They need to open enrollment, you know. Mm-hmm. And we can do another show on that another day. But for now, I thought, I have a lot of friends who are scientists. And everybody knows we need prayers and scientists. And science, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you believe in a religion or not, that is your personal preference. I happen to believe I'm Hindu and I believe in my religion. And I grew up in Christian schools and I also believe in that. And I have Muslim relatives and I have Jewish friends. I'm a little bit of the UN all wrapped up in this little Indian gal over here. But if you pray to a rock and it makes you feel good, like my dad used to say, pray to your rock. Nobody knows the answers to everything, but I do have a friend, and his name is Sanjay Udoshi. I hope I'm saying it correct, Udoshi. And he's calling in today. I think he's already on the phone. He brings to our show today an 18-year record of successful healthcare innovation and leadership. After successfully selling his first company focused on research-oriented electronic medical records, Sanjay entered the field of healthcare policy consultant, working with policymakers at both the state and federal level, and he has contributed a lot to the public domain, and not just to us, but to physicians that he works with, to anybody actually in healthcare should be listening today, because this is an expert. So Sanjay, thank you for calling in. I know you're on the phone.
Good afternoon, Sita. Thank you for having me. Great to be with you.
So tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about yourself, because I'm very grateful that you're taking the time to call in and speak with us this morning.
Sure. So I am a physician by training, internal medicine. I did my undergraduate at the University of Pennsylvania in cell and molecular biology, internal medicine from Temple, and I did my fellowship in clinical analytics and decision support at the Geisinger Health System here in Pennsylvania. Since then, I've worked for a large multinational company called Oracle in developing population health and clinical genomic solutions, and I've been an implementation consultant since then. So I've traveled throughout the United States in over 44 health systems, as well as traveled and worked in Latin America, in Chile and Brazil, implementing population health. So my background really is in evidence-based medicine, and in more recent years, I've been working focused on genomics and applied genomics in the field of cancer, as well as chronic disease.
Well, thank you. Wow, Ellen, I told you we have a brilliant fella calling in, and it's Sanj. How do you say your last name?
It's Sudoshi. You got it right.
Oh, I got it right. Okay, good. So you know, we were just saying every time we turn on the television or we're listening to the news or we're talking with people here in our community, coworkers, neighbors, everybody's got their own take on the coronavirus. And what I'm noticing is a lot of people are using this opportunity, depending on which political party they veer towards, or maybe some of them don't even have a political party, they just want to talk nonsense. They're just using this to spread hate and fear and division. And it's almost like we need people who actually believe in science and data to tell us exactly what's going on with this coronavirus. So that's why I said, you know, let me bring you on to talk to us about, you know, immunity and vaccinations. A lot of people are talking about immunity. Explain to our audience exactly what is immunity, how does someone get it, and why it's so important or not important to vaccinate.
Sure. So let's start with the basics. I'm sure many of us, many in your audience are aware of the yearly flu vaccination that your doctor and healthcare professionals urge our public and our patients to get. And the reason we ask you to get the flu vaccination is that it provides you with about 90% protection from getting the flu for that particular year. Now, many will ask, why do we need it every year? Well, the reason that we should be able to educate people about is that these diseases, especially flu viruses, they have the ability to mutate very rapidly. As we know, the human species, our generation is 25 years between generations. The virus can have as short as 5 days between a generation. And many variants and many strains are constantly evolving in the community. And over time, a particular vaccine no longer is effective if it stays stagnant and is not updated continually to face the, provide the protection and face the threat as it evolves in the community. So what is immunity is your question. Immunity is the body's ability to fend off or defend itself from an infection. Specifically, when we're talking about immunity from a viral disease like influenza, what the body does when it is vaccinated is it activates a set of cells within the white blood cell population, and those cells then are able to produce antibodies. These antibodies are largely the first level of defense or the first line of defense in fighting the infection. Now, without the vaccine, the body is not able to have that first line of defense and has to go through the process of...
They're like the foot soldiers, right?
Yes, yes. They're the foot soldiers, they're the scouts that are on the lookout for any threat, any new infection. They're able to call in the help from the colonels and sergeants and generals of the army of the white blood cells. And so without those lookouts, without the foot soldiers, the other higher ranking officials, so to speak, in the white blood cell army aren't really able to respond with the same amount of vigor. And an infection can take grip on the human body if the person is not vaccinated. And this is why we urge everyone to go through the schedule of childhood vaccinations with all of their children. And that leads to the entire population having the ability to fend off a infection. And this is what we call herd immunity, where a large portion, 80% or more of the community's population are immune to a specific infection. And therefore, they confer a kind of shield for the others.
Right.
Now, there are some who cannot be vaccinated, okay, for whatever reasons. They may have a immune deficiency or an autoimmune disease, and we cannot give them a vaccine. And so what herd immunity does is when you have all of the people surrounding you immune to a disease, it becomes much harder for that disease to reach you. And this is the
So we really are in this together, Sanjay. We really are. So the antibodies are friends.
Yes, the production of the antibodies is the first line of defense.
I remember explaining that to my children when they were little, when I was in nursing school, and I had just learned what an antibody was. And I would say, well, oh, you have an infection, and all your little soldiers, your little helpers, they're coming to help you. Yay! But tell us, tell us what happens with the human body. I mean, you're a scientist, and you know what? I'm so grateful you're calling in, and we've been friends such a long time, and I see, I hear your frustration sometimes, but I also know that you have such a wealth of knowledge of information in your head right there that you could share with us. So tell us about the antigens, because people don't know the difference between, like you just explained about herd immunity and antibodies or antibodies, I don't know how people say it. And how about the antigens now? Because we're hearing about the lungs once someone is infected with COVID-19, what happens to the antibodies, the oxygen level, the antigen. So go through that little process for us and just teach our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about that.
Sure. So that's a great question. And people should have certain level of comfort with these terms, because in the future, in the coming months, they're going to hear a lot about these things. So the antibody is something natively produced by your body. Antibody is produced by your body. The antigen is whatever piece of the infection organism is that presents to the body. Now, for example, if you have a strep throat, right? It's usually caused by Streptococcus bacteria, and that bacteria has certain proteins on the surface of it that are easily recognizable by the body. These are large proteins. They have a very specific shape, and they can be recognized by the body's white blood cells. So when the antigen or protein of the bacteria comes in contact with these white blood cells, the protective cells of the body, the antibodies have a special affinity or ability to stick to them, okay?
Yes.
So antigens are things that come from outside of your body that elicit an immune response, and that immune response starts off with your own antibodies, which are produced by your own body, sticking to those antigens. Now, what happens in the COVID infection, of course, is there are specific proteins on the viral coat, the viral outside of the, you know, the viral ball, so to speak, that attach to certain proteins that are native to your body. So those antigens are targets. They're targets for your native immunity, your body's white blood cells and immune response to attack before they can attack your, you know, the lining of your respiratory system. So that's what really an antigen is. It's that piece of protein that is part of the infective organism that is very specific to that organism and that elicits a specific response.
So when we're all listening to the news and we hear Dr. Anthony Fauci speaking about social distancing, washing your hands, flattening the curve, someone asked me this morning to ask you, Sanjay Udoshi, our friend, to explain to us about flattening the curve and why it is so important for people to actually, at this point in time, put their health before wealth, before everything right now, and listen to the experts. Tell us about flattening this curve and what does it mean?
Okay, so flattening the curve in its most basic to provide a most basic understanding of flattening the curve, it is you must understand that a certain number of people will get infected no matter what we do in the next 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 months, or 6 months. So the number of infections may actually be exactly the same as if we did nothing, but those infections would come suddenly. They would come in for example, the rate of infection may be 1,000 people per day, or 2,000, or 5,000, or 10,000 people per day, if we did nothing, okay? If we distance from each other, then the virus does not have the ability to jump as easily from one person to the next and spread as easily and as quickly as it would like to, or as it could. By distancing ourselves from each other, we are then denying the virus its next victim.
So no food for the virus.
No food, no. So the virus cannot replicate. It cannot reproduce itself outside of the human body. And if it cannot reproduce itself, it dies. Its life cycle is ended. For example, if it's just sitting on a park bench, over the course of 12 or 48 hours, depending on what the moisture level is and how much sunlight and what temperature, that virus will die. It will fall apart because it has no way to reproduce itself. Now, if we continue our normal lifestyle, then that virus will find ample opportunity to go from person to person, you know, crossing each other in the aisle in the grocery store, or shaking hands, or, using public spaces, public transportation. That gives the virus the opportunity to jump from person to person very, very easily. If we do the opposite, we stay home, we do not interact, the virus has nowhere to go. Now, what does that do in terms of flattening the curve? That means the rate of infection, the number of people infected per day, is much, much, much lower in a circumstance where a community stays at home rather than it follows its normal daily activities. In that community where everyone stays at home, you can imagine the virus has nowhere to go. Okay, so even if a person is carrying the virus and is not sick, we call that asymptomatic, that virus will have no person to travel to. And if it cannot travel to the next person during what we call its latency period, which we know in this virus can be anywhere between 9 and 17 days, then if it cannot travel to the next person within that period of time, and it has not successfully infected the person that's carrying it, then it dies. So staying away from each other is essentially killing all of the opportunity for that virus to replicate itself and continue to spread through the community.
Wow, very interesting. I love you know, one of your gifts is communication. And I absolutely love the way I can just, you're just, it's amazing. I'm going to have to bring you back on your grade. But here's the other thing is, do you think that, are you hopeful that we're going to have any clinical trials soon and that we will see maybe a vaccine? Or I know that President Trump is talking about the drug. Is it, what? How do you say the word, hydro?
Hydroxychloroquine.
I could never say that word, no matter what. But the thing is, are you hopeful that something else will come up? Because the thing is, I mean, you know, you're a physician, I'm a nurse, all our friends, we all have Google. Every drug under the sun have terrible side effects. I mean, everything is nausea, vomit, and constipation. My God, you know? So this one has a lot of side effects as well. So how hopeful are you with the trials?
Okay, so let me finish the previous point. The one thing that we have been successful in doing, and it is showing in the data today, is that by staying away from each other, by staying home, we have not overwhelmed our healthcare system. We have not overwhelmed it to the point where patients cannot find beds, patients that need ventilators cannot have a ventilator. If we had not socially distanced, if we had not listen to the science and the epidemiology, then it very well could have been we could have seen people dying because there were just not enough resources to take care of them. Because we paid attention to the scientists and the epidemiologists and we've followed instructions largely, we have flattened the curve. And we continue to do so, and that is excellent news. Now, coming to the point of the hopefulness of vaccination and possible treatment mechanisms, you know, right now the vaccines are actually quite advanced in their in the study and production phases. So we're not starting from scratch. The great news is that the first SARS epidemic led to a huge amount of research into the coronavirus 1 that caused SARS. And vaccines have been developed, you know, as close to home as University of Pittsburgh and University of Texas, as well as the Israelis have a very, very advanced version of a vaccine that is in clinical trial. These are great because if we were not at this stage, then I would say we're two years or more away from even clinical trials. That is not the case. We are about 6 months to 12 months away from going through all of the required phases of a clinical trial and between 12 and 18 months to having it publicly available. And we're working, the community, scientific community is working at pace to ensure that that happens. So that's about vaccines. About treatment, it is very, very dangerous to talk about potential treatment based on purely anecdotal evidence. The drug hydroxychloroquine is a very powerful and highly toxic drug that is used to treat malaria. We no longer use it as a frontline drug of choice to treat malaria. It is cardiotoxic, meaning it can cause cardiac arrhythmia and sudden cardiac death. It is hepatotoxic, meaning it can damage the liver. It is toxic to the eyes and can cause blindness. So any talk of hydroxychloroquine as an agent of prophylaxis, meaning that if you take it, you will have a reduced susceptibility to getting the virus, or if you take it once you've gotten sick, the course of your disease will be better or you will, you know, recover faster. Is not supported by any evidence whatsoever. What has been done so far is highly experimental. It has not been cleared through the normal scientific rigor. Normal scientific rigor that we apply to anything that we would recommend to a large population. So, but the good news is that because of the, you know, decades of HIV research and the decades of research that have gone, and the last decade of research that's gotten to even the SARS epidemic in H1N1 and the amount of knowledge we have in virology today, we have a number of antiviral agents that are specifically designed to fight viral infection. Remdesivir, favipiravir, these are drugs that are currently being tested by the Japanese and the Chinese and others in Europe and the French to address this pandemic and to see how effective these will be. Now, papers have come out very recently, as recently as in the last 4 days, indicating that these antivirals are much more specific and much more promising than anything that it was initially rumored to be useful.
Right. It's I think that brings us to the other point where someone had asked me to ask you, how do we tell the truth from the lies? I mean, people, we have about 4 minutes left for the segment. I'm giving you some of my ad time as well, because this is such a great topic. How do we tell the lies from the truth? Because so many people have hidden agendas, right? So tell us quickly, sure. What should we do?
I would listen to the guy that spent 40 years in public health, that has a Congressional Medal of Freedom, that fought HIV, Ebola, Zika, H5N1, H1N1, and is now at the forefront of fighting this. Listen to Dr. Fauci. He is a man of impeccable integrity, and the scientific community trusts him. And if we trust him, then you should trust him.
Right.
Listen to what he has to say.
The last couple of shows, we've been saying at how much we trust him, because so far the curve has been flattening, I think, because of what he has been saying, to stay home, wash your hands, think about the people on the front lines. We don't have enough equipment to take care of the nurses and healthcare workers and people on the front lines. And people, and for those who are listening, we really thank them, you know. But how can we all encourage others and promote them to be responsible and protect themselves? Because like we all hear the experts and even you yourself saying, this is not going to go away anytime soon, right?
No, it's not. Unfortunately, it's with us. And I anticipate in the upcoming years, once the initial vaccine is produced, that doctors will be recommending a yearly SARS vaccine along with a yearly flu vaccine. So we will have learned from COVID that this is a sudden acute respiratory syndrome caused by coronavirus. We will then refer to it as SARS, and we will be recommending to the general public that they get a yearly SARS vaccine. I highly anticipate that that will be the case, that this will become endemic to all of our societies across the globe, and that in order to protect our societies, a vaccine will be produced yearly, and we will all take it. And over time, it will become less and less a fatal, disease, and that we will develop herd immunity. That's ultimately going to take us to be asking us to be vigilant and diligent. So taking care of ourselves and each other, and also being aware that protecting ourselves is also equivalent to protecting everyone else in our community.
So is it safe then, Sanjay, to say that we're going to be living with SARS, COVID-19, God knows we had H1N1, we had the norovirus, we've had MRSA, we've had VRE. It's safe to say that we're going to be living with all this, but we have to find ways to protect ourselves, healthcare workers, and listen to science.
Yes, and we will. There was a time when we thought HIV was a death sentence. And
well, Magic Johnson proved everybody wrong. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Millions live with HIV in a healthy, productive lives.
So what do we tell the people who are sitting at home scared to death right now? That won't even, I mean, my children, they want to FaceTime and they want to do a drive-by and drop some food off or pick up some food in some cases. But they won't bring the grandchildren around. And I mean, I understand they want to stay home and follow rules, but what do we say to the people who are really so scared out of their wits that they're planning to stay home and hibernate for months?
Yeah, I mean, we all have to be vigilant, but we also have to be sensible. Listen to Dr. Fauci and your public health officials, and be careful. Even when the restrictions are lifted and they say that it's safe to return out shopping and going out to eat, it still makes much more sense to be careful, but not fearful.
Right. I like that. Careful, but not fearful. So if somebody wanted to find you or join you on your Facebook live chats, give us the links to whatever information you want us to put out on our Facebook page and share with our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
So how can we find you on your group? You're on what, every Monday or every Tuesday?
Yes. I'm on every Tuesday at 7:30 Eastern, 7:30 in the evening, p.m. Eastern Standard. And I'm easily found on the Internet. You can search for me by my initials and my last name. So M as in Mary, S as in Sam, M as in Mary, Udoshi, U-D-O-S-H-I, S-M Udoshi, and you should be able to find me on Facebook as well as my Twitter is the same, and you'll be able to join me every Tuesday evening at 7:30.
Well, Dr. Sanjay Udoshi, you make all of us fall in love with science all over again.
Amen.
Even though
That's
we didn't
true.
Want to do it, and so because you know the way you explain things, it's truthful. It's such an honest version of what's happening with our bodies. And you make us want to actually listen because we are one. And when you talk about the herd immunity, we are one, all of us. All lives are important. And if we all think like that, that if we have the disease, we can give it to somebody unknowingly or they can give it to us. So therefore, follow the directions, follow the guidelines that Dr.
Absolutely.
Anthony Fauci is giving us.
Yes, and like I said, take care of yourself and you'll be taking care of your community.
Amen.
So do so.
Thank you so much for calling in and all for the great information. Listeners,
how
we're
wonderful,
gonna be,
huh?
I know. We're gonna be
gosh.
Right back with a quick message from our sponsors.
Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on WWBC, AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, FM 100.7, and on the World Wide Web. What a robust first segment.
What a great conversation.
Right. And now we have our friend Jenny Battig who's here. And Jenny is going to be talking about, I thought we were going to talk about her company, Epic Concepts. But then she said to me, oh, no, I want to talk about Earth Day. And she wants to talk about the pollution that's actually down in Brevard and the states.
Yeah,
I mean,
in the
all
whole
over the world.
Yeah.
Worldwide pollution is down. We're going to talk about being positive, how to stay clean and appreciate the clean air that we have right now to breathe.
Right.
But before we do that, Ellen, I just want to say, you know, to follow up on what Sanjay said, I am listening to Dr. Fauci. I told you that before. I like him and I like Dr. Sanjay Gupta a lot. But it would be nice if our public officials, the president, people in leadership roles, governors, if everybody actually spoke with one clear, concise message.
Right.
Like, it should be like everybody is hearing the same thing, you know, because you're getting mixed messages. You know, one person says open the stock market, one person says no, one person want to open the country, one person says no, one person says, well, maybe it'll be May 1st, somebody say May 15th. How about just sitting down? Isn't that what Zoom is for, and meetings?
Right.
So that you could get together and come up with a right answer, you know?
Exactly. Think of how much money you're saving in food at all these meetings.
And gas. Yeah, I mean, gas and food.
Yeah. But and pollution.
Mm-hmm. You know? It's like parents, right? It's like parenting 101. If you have children who are misbehaving, and the father says something different from the mother, I mean, the grandma chimes in, mm-hmm. and the aunties chime in, mm-hmm. the kid is so confused, they don't know who to listen to. And I'm speaking from experience, because I have done that to my children. But, you know, it was always my mother, Nanny Raj, had to crack that whip to say, all right, this is how it's going to be done.
Mm.
Or my father would, you know, one look and you knew you were gone, right?
No words
so
needed.
It's almost like we want someone to say, listen, I'm in charge, and this is what we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so Jenny, so tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and the way they could find you on the web if they do want to. I still want to give you a plug for your business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I am Jenny Battig, and I do have my own business, Epic Renewal Concepts, which a big part of that business is hypnotherapy. So I do work with clients on an individual basis, and I can do group sessions as well, but obviously not right now. EPIC is actually an acronym for External Peace, Internal Calm.
Oh, I love that.
Which isn't that kind of what we're doing right now as we're social distancing? To some extent anyway, some people are getting more stressed and frustrated and things like that, but it's created a lot of external peace because there's not a lot of sound out there. If you step outside your house in the evening and like you don't hear the traffic going, you don't hear all kinds of just
it's
rustling
beautiful.
Around, you hear more nature.
Yeah.
We hear more birds and frogs and stuff like
and
that after the rain.
Have been packed with people walking.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
been really nice.
Yeah.
It has been. But you know what? Really quick, but what made you decide to be a hypnotherapist?
Yeah. So I used to be an engineer, and it just, you know, I was helping people figure out maybe more efficient ways of doing their jobs. And it just felt like there was more that I could give. And I never really found myself or thought of myself as someone who was a big corporation type of person, yet I was working at a big corporation, and I just felt kind of handcuffed by all the red tape and stuff like that. I just couldn't help people as much as I wanted to. So it's sort of a long story, which I'm sure at one point will become a book because I've told it so many times.
Yeah, it's hard when you're at
like,
work.
Wow.
It's hard when you're at work and you have a lot of opinions and you know you could help someone, but you can't really say it because people might think you're being political or you're getting involved in their business or
right.
whatever, you know?
Right.
So
or
I
it's just
see
not
you.
Part of that role, so why are you saying it? It's not your job or whatever. Yeah.
It's out of your sphere, you know?
Yeah.
But did you have to go through training?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I did over 500 hours of training to become a hypnotherapist, and it was at a wonderful school over in Tampa. A lot of it, that's even still going on because most of that training is online so that people can do it at their own pace. But then every 7 or 8 weeks you get together, so I'm not sure how they're handling that right now, but you just get together to do some practicals, which is, you know, practicing on each other, getting some in-person mentoring and tutoring and stuff like that so that you can actually experience it. Because to just read about something and then just try to do it for someone is not always the best approach.
But I would think like that right now, hypnotherapy would help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have still been working with people to create some custom recordings for them.
Yes.
I've kind of put a hold on in-person sessions for a few weeks just to make sure that the curve is flattening. I don't want to, you know.
Well, you just heard about that from
mm-hmm.
them.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So okay, so you're in addition to having your own business, you're also helping with, you started Earth Day. You and a lot of other friends, right?
Yep, at Unity of Melbourne 4 years ago. This would be our fourth annual Earth Day Expo.
And it's
Expo.
Grown, yay!
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful that we were part of that
from the
beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
We watched it grow, right?
Yep.
It was like our little baby, it grew.
Yeah.
So talk to our audience here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about Earth Day.
Yeah, so Unity of Melbourne is a church that's considered New Thought. It is technically in the Christian denomination, but there's a lot of metaphysical interpretations of things, and we kind of accept all kinds of teachings from different books, different writings, different spiritual mentors and things like that. So it's a pretty open-minded religion, and there's even Unity kind of on a national level has a whole program about earth care. And that we weren't even aware of that when we had our first Earth Day, but when we found out about it, of course, we let them know that, you know, we're kind of doing some big stuff to try to support the earth and how we interact with it and things like that. So, and as you were saying earlier, Sita, you know, a big thing that is a Unity belief is that we are all one. Right. We are all connected, not just person to person, but everything on the planet. You know, we're connected in some way. Spiritually, we're sharing the same oxygen, you know, with anything that processes oxygen even. So it just makes sense to take care of not only the other people around us, but the earth around us, the environment
that
supports us.
Well, where do you think that gets lost? Like, we see so many people, politicians, neighbors, friends, people we grew up with, people we don't even want to like anymore, because we've evolved and they're not. And they're right. Stuck in whatever they're stuck in, the way they were raised, the kind of, you know, information that their parents put in their heads or whatever, mm-hmm. but they haven't evolved.
Yeah.
What do you say to those people that, hey, the same oxygen you breathe, I'm breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You want a nice place to put your head in the night and sleep? So do I. You want affordable housing, affordable wages? You want a physician to take care of your children when they're sick? I want the same thing. You know somebody's homeless, I want them to have a home. What do you say to people who don't get to that point? You want to, I mean, you can't shake them because it's violence.
Right. Especially right now.
Yeah, no touching.
Virtually shaking you. Well, you know, it's hard to know. There's no prescription really for what to say to everyone that kind of hasn't woken up to that reality. But I think you sort of have to try to meet them where they are. You need to listen and understand where they're coming from, why they're kind of stuck where they are. And a lot of times there's some kind of fear behind where they got stuck.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing, obviously, that I help people with hypnotherapy. But even, you know, as I sit in our, well, not lately because we've been doing it on Facebook Live, but as I sit in the sanctuary typically at Unity of Melbourne and listen to the talks each week, it almost always jives with what I do with my clients.
Yeah.
So there's so much overlap there.
I think the whole world could benefit from your services, honestly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because people need it. So there's a difference between being lonely and mm-hmm. loneliness, correct?
Right.
Yeah, because some people, they're lonely.
Mm-hmm.
But some people enjoy it. They mm-hmm. enjoy being by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy thinking. They enjoy breathing. They enjoy
right.
giving back.
This is an introvert's dream.
It is. It is.
Right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And an extrovert's nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm like walking around going, oh. Can't hug you. Can't hug you.
I know.
Sorry.
Yeah. I know. I miss hugging people.
Mm-hmm.
So you said that you guys are making some videos about decreasing pollution. Are you watching videos, or what is it you're doing with the? Because I mean, you talk about pollution and what you're going to be doing on Earth Day and at the Unity of Melbourne.
Yeah, well, because we are honoring the guidelines to social distance, obviously, the event that we'd previously planned to have on April 18th to honor Earth Day, it would be our fourth annual Earth Day Expo. We're delaying that. We thought about canceling it. But we really still want to honor the fact that there are things that we can learn and ways to help each other and help the planet. Just staying home right now is helping the planet, as we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Before we went on air. So we decided to do kind of a combination of things. Instead of putting off all of the Earth Day information until later this year, hopefully, we're going to, since we have a Facebook event for the Earth Day event, we're going to use that kind of as our avenue to get some informational and educational videos out there for people that are related to eco-friendly practices. I've got several videos from the Lagoon, like the Save the Lagoon people, and there's just a whole variety. The people that we would have had as vendors at the event, I've reached out to them to, you know, give me some access to or send me some links to videos that would help kind of tell their story or just educate people, because that's one of the main purposes for our Earth Day Expo.
Yeah, I was just going to say, most of the vendors are earth-friendly.
Absolutely.
We've all been there. And so for our listeners who are just tuning in, we want you to know that we're Ellen and I are here in studio. We are socially distanced, and we're speaking with our friend Jenny Batty, who is talking about Earth Day and what every year. We've had it for the last four years, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to 4 years.
Yep.
And her company is called Epic Renewal Concepts. And she does hypnotize people and teach them how to reach your inner self and conquer fears and anxiety and things like that. So
right.
you'll have to check it out on the web. Ellen will put it on our website.
It's on there already. So you can just click on that link and get an appointment with Jenny.
That's right. So Jenny, yep. when our parents were telling us about cleanliness is next to godliness, I'm sure they didn't envision that everybody have a junk drawer or right. they have like a junk a dresser drawer mm-hmm. or kitchen. In the kitchen, yeah. you always have the one little drawer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you tell people right now? They're all staying home and some people are going stir crazy and some are making really good use of their time.
Mm-hmm.
What are you telling them to do?
Well, this is a good time to clean those things out because that really, it may not be something that you're consciously aware of, but when your subconscious is aware that you've got a lot of junk built up there that you just haven't processed yet, that can even kind of hold you back because it can lead to a feeling of overwhelm and kind of just being bogged down with the heaviness of all that there is to do. So sometimes it just takes chunking it down and doing it in small pieces. Like maybe you decide you don't have to take a whole day, although now that we have several days to be home, yeah. you could take a whole day and just get it done. Yeah. But you could chunk it up if it feels too overwhelming, because I know you said junk drawer, and I have at least one junk drawer, probably two in my kitchen, but I also have what we call a junk room.
And I have a junk closet for sure.
Yeah. So we have been in the process over the last week of organizing and just purging stuff out of that junk
room. And
it
feels good when you purge,
it really does, yeah.
Because, you know, Ahmed brought it to my attention. We had this drawer in the kitchen, and it has, like, twist ties from the bread. It has an extra can opener just in case the other one breaks. It has all those things that you get at Publix when you buy a cake.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the name again.
The cake server.
Cake server is like yep. five or six. Like, what do you need to say five or six? They give you more anyway. And so I'm looking in this drawer, and you know, there's part of me that wants to throw out four, but then there's part of me to save it because you might need it.
Right. What if one breaks?
What do you do to people like me that you know you're not going to be using it, but it's just the way we were raised. We didn't throw things out, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you do to people like me who have that secret fear that you don't want to throw it out because you just may need it?
Since I've just confessed I have a whole junk room, I'm not sure I've mastered what to tell people to do with that case. But but one way to help purge stuff that I've found is very useful is to just empty the thing altogether.
Yeah.
So if you're working
on
a drawer,
and take the drawer and dump it.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And then only put the stuff back in that you want to keep. And then you have a separate pile for things that you can just throw away.
Yeah.
And then another pile for things that can be recycled.
Right.
So our recycle bin is pretty full. That's why we've had to stretch out cleaning up the room, because we got to wait till the recycle truck comes so we can have a place to put more material in there as we continue to purge bills and stuff like that from 2002 that just, you know, got lost somewhere and buried under other stuff. But there's all kinds of opportunity with this time, and it really does feel better. I mean, that room is brighter now because there's not so much stuff stacked on top of each other.
Positive energy flowing.
Right.
So we just had a person send me a question on Facebook to ask you about. People are posting pictures of food. They're posting pictures of the beach. They're posting pictures of the Himalayas.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw one about the Ganges where it's clearer and the water is just, they said you could drink from it again.
Mm.
What is that doing to our psychological state, our minds, when we watch all these pictures of different things on Facebook or social media, or people are texting each other?
Yeah. Well, it definitely helps, because what you see, the subconscious doesn't know the difference between what the eyes are actually sending it as actual imagery that you're seeing and what you're imagining. So whether you hear something positive and can picture it, or you see it actually in person, or you can just imagine it. I mean, even through meditation and practices and stuff like that, you can bring more positive vibes basically into your brain, and that can only help things. I mean, sometimes when we have a lot of negative, or we've had very stressful times recently, we kind of need to outweigh it. You know, like now the stress side is heavier because there's so much of that going on, but you just need to try to balance that out. So you need to try to make an effort, a conscious effort, to support the subconscious with more positive imagery. And that's part of what, you know, the recordings that I do for people, meditations. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. Even just looking at, like you said, some of the stuff on social media is much more positive now than it was, because people have been in search of or in need of more positive stuff going on. So they're sharing it, and I think that's great. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity to enjoy the positive aspects of social media instead of the ones that kind of pull us down or tear us apart.
Right. And so when you've been on the show before, and you've always talked about the heart-brain connection,
mm-hmm.
and you've talked about that barrier. Tell our listeners a little bit about that, because right now, I mean, I always say, we had this where people couldn't go to a church to pray yesterday for Easter. And mm-hmm. I feel sorry for the Christians, my friends and family mm-hmm. who couldn't go. But you could take the building away, but you can't take the prayer away.
Right.
God hears it anyway.
Yeah.
And I've always said, as long as your heart is beating, he's there or she's mm-hmm. there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you tell listeners about that connection between yeah. breathing, your heart, your lungs, your head?
Yeah. Well, another set of techniques that I have gotten some training in is called HeartMath. And that's actually an organization out in California that does sort of combine the spiritual or woo-woo side of things
yeah.
with the scientific side of things, because they do actual research and have statistics on not just how it can change our emotional state, but they even have devices around the world that measure the energy of the earth. So and I haven't gone out to check, I should have checked before the show, I didn't think about it, but it measures the frequency of the earth, and when there's something big that's happening, like a war or something like that, then there's a more kind of high frequency stress type yeah. of thing going on. And when things are more peaceful, so right now I would imagine you could tell from those devices that there's not a lot of activity going on. There's no war. There's
the anxiety level mm-hmm. is up. Well, that happens in your home. If you're
right.
If you're fighting and upset, your whole home, the whole house, you could feel the tension. Like mm-hmm. that's when people say, I could feel the tension in the
right.
air.
Right.
And that used to happen a lot when I was a child. If our parents were fighting,
mm-hmm.
I could feel it. And then you went to school upset. And,
yeah.
you know, sometimes I'm sorry that I did that to my own children, too.
Mm-hmm.
But do you notice that, like, right now, with parents at home, calm, that even families have less stress?
It depends. I think there's a couple different ways people are going. Some people do feel more stress because this is different
yeah.
than what they're used to. They feel more, I think, responsibility with homeschooling the kids, and that's something that they don't typically have to deal with. But I have to say, I've been fairly impressed with our experience with how Brevard Schools has done the switch to virtual learning.
Yeah.
With the 16-year-old in the house who's doing his high school work virtually now. The first week took some, there was a little bit of a learning curve there and how to submit things correctly or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's actually gone pretty well.
It's smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah, kudos to Brevard
yeah,
public
anything
officials.
Anything new is always going to create a little
right.
anxiety.
Yeah, you got to figure it out.
I think everybody's kind of working their way into it. And
yeah.
making sure that they can facilitate it. It's
yeah.
funny because all the memes that I see is in 10 years we're going to see the product of our kids being taught by day drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, I saw one meme.
So funny.
A meme that says if the CDC doesn't come up with a cure for coronavirus, the parents would.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, right. My daughter-in-law is loving it. My daughter is loving it.
Mm-hmm.
They're very structured. They've got certain times that they're doing stuff. The children are listening. They're loving it. But, you know, one of the downside of the coronavirus, this dreadful coronavirus, is domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be on the rise. And the sad thing is the police can't really go into somebody's house anymore,
mm-hmm.
You know, because how can you answer every call?
Right.
So, I mean, let's move away a little bit and talk a little bit about that. How would you tell people who are going through that kind of a stress right now? Because before, a woman could call her friend. She can go for a walk. She can go for a drive. Or a man, if somebody is, being controlling in the home.
Yeah.
Or abusing them verbally, mentally, physically, emotionally. What do you tell those people now?
Yeah, well, it could be handled from a couple of different directions. If there's a way that they can encourage the person that is more aggressive to find a way to get out that energy, that's what's going to help. Because sometimes the things do build up and they just don't know how to handle it.
Yes.
You know, they don't have the tools inside to handle it. they probably are not someone who would meditate when they get angry like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or have a minute to.
And this isn't the time to say,
maybe they don't know how.
Right, right, exactly. And this isn't necessarily the time to try to teach them.
Right.
Because
they
might hit you. A little too stressed to learn something new.
Hey, would you like to learn about Krishna while you're trying to figure out, oh, Jesus or Allah or anything, while you're trying to figure out if you can pay the rent?
Right.
Or if you could put food on the table and remember you didn't qualify for Medicaid? Would you like me to talk to you a little bit about meditation?
Right.
Able to say, lady, take your mask and get out.
Right. Right, exactly. So, I mean, I do think people are taking just individual walks and stuff like that. They don't have to stay like locked in their homes. So taking a walk sometimes can be a way to either get away from it if you are, you know, the one that could be on the receiving end of the abuse. The person who is the abuser is, like I said, probably a little harder to convince to find a different method. But I was actually talking to my brother the other day, not that he has any kind of domestic abuse going on, but he is a store manager at a Lowe's over north of Tampa. And I said, hey, how you doing? And he said, man, I'm about at the end of my rope here. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? And, you know, because
he says the word rope.
Right? And, you know, he said he's got most of his employees haven't been able to come to work because they don't feel comfortable. And it just, there's a lot of stress going on because he's being exposed to the public, you know, every day and trying to keep the store open and things like that. So, and he's used to doing athletic things, you know, in his free time, and those are all canceled.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was just saying, man, it's a tough time right now because I don't have my normal outlets for all this frustration and stress that builds up at work. But when I texted him the other day, he sent me a video that he kind of created a space in his garage. He's been playing hockey lately, actually, which I know seems weird. I'm from Ohio originally, and then we moved down to Florida, and he plays hockey in Florida. He never played hockey in Ohio, but whatever, you know.
So he found a way, an outlet.
Yeah.
Well, I find for me, it's gardening. I never like being outside because, you know, being dark, I can't go out in the hot, hot sun. I roast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could go out like in the evening because I get my eczema acts up and everything else. But I find that all of a sudden, I took a pot and I planted some hot pepper, you know, scorpion pepper. And I'm planting some peas, and I find every day now they're my babies. Mm-hmm. I'm running out to see if they're sprouting. And of course, my husband's blood pressure is low. He's always enjoying gardening. But with the last minute we have, yes or no, do you think people will change their attitudes and behaviors after we've all seen the coronavirus does not discriminate, humans do? Do you think we'll see a change in behavior?
I think we will in a lot of people, not necessarily everyone. Some people are probably so itching to get back to what they considered normal before that they're going to jump at the chance as soon as they can. But I think a lot of people have opened their eyes to just a different way of life now, you know, that's simpler, that's easier, that is more calm, more, you know, just more heart-centered, really, because you don't have all those outside things that are distracting you and things like that. So I hope that there's going to be a big shift. And that could be why this whole thing came up from a spiritual perspective. Maybe the universe said, you know,
slow down.
Earth needs to take a little time
Earth
out.
Needs you. So give us your website one more time, and then Ellen, you'll take it away from there.
Yeah. So my website for my business is epicrenewal.com or hypnotherapybyjenny.com. And then, of course, the Unity website is unityofmelbourne.com. And our Facebook event will for Earth Day will be on Facebook under the Unity of Melbourne page.
And we will have all of that posted under our CETA Media Inc. page, as well as our Facebook page. So thank you again, friends and family, for tuning in. Keep safe, stay well, and thank you for another great edition for Viewpoint with CETA and Friends.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
And you're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, FM.